Welcome to Becoming Parents Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Campbell. I'm a doula in Washoe County, Nevada, a Medicaid provider, a lactation educator, childbirth educator, and mom of 18. You can find me and connect on doulainreno.com. Remember, give a shout out to those who are brave enough to share their stories with us on how they have become parents. Let's dive in. Welcome to Becoming Parents. I'm the host, Jennifer Campbell. Today, I'm with Marie Mozai. How are you, Marie?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I was butchering your name and you said it's Mozai, like mow the lawn. And so that was great. That was perfect. Thank you for being here. I want you to jump in and start to share your parenting journey.
Sure. Well, I'm a mother of one. And Kate is now a grown woman, 34 years old. Actually, I'm so excited because they've been struggling for about 6 years and grandson on the way in May. Yes.
So
very
good.
Excited. It's been such a journey. But I had a hard time conceiving. And when I found out I was pregnant with Kate, it was like, oh shit. I was so concerned because my husband and I were great friends, got married, but I knew in the first year and a half that that's all we were. So Aww. it was a struggle, but he was in the Navy. So he was out to sea on and off, 3 months in, 3 months out. So I spent a lot of that parenting journey alone, surrounded by great community and great family, our church, our friends, but I was far away from family. And part of my desire, I think, and my concern was that I wanted to just be a strong mom. And I didn't know until a little bit later, and then entering counseling and all that, I really had some fears of being a mom. And I was, I think, anxious about doing it right, as I'm sure all moms think, you know, we try to put on the perfection hat, but it wasn't even that. I wanted to just be emotionally prepared. I knew of some of the things I did not want to repeat, of course. And my parents were great, no throwing under the bus, but not there for me emotionally. And so it prepared me in a place of, I spent a lot of time alone, you know, as a survivor, trying to financially support myself, college, pay for a wedding, you know, all of that. And then it was like, now I'm going to be the mom. And I was nervous. I was concerned. I was excited, but very wary of, could I do this with all emotional intention, being honest and upfront with myself and with my child. So I will say that if I had to repeat any part of my life, I would repeat, not, you know, that I'm still a mom, but those motherhood days were just priceless. I wouldn't trade any of them for anything. I just so enjoyed being a mother to Kate, still do. We're very close. And I enjoyed every part of that.
I did too. And I think you don't realize when you're in the thick of it how much you enjoy it. I mean, I think I was like you, like you're nervous, and I just realized you're afraid to screw them up because no matter how hard you try and how great of a job you do and how much you show up, like you're gonna screw up your kids. There's no manual. It's not intentional. It's not malicious. And you're doing your best. And yet, still, but there are things I wish I could go back and revisit, like a ghost from Christmas past sort of thing. Just like see it again or feel it again or have handled a couple things better or differently. But I totally get it. And most of my kids are adults too. And most of them are really good friends of mine. So I love that. I love that you look back with fondness. I look back with fondness too. I think that's a funny thing about parenthood. It like tricks us into believing like it's a good idea. And you know, it's hard.
My book, The Joy of Servant Motherhood, I said that there's no journal. And, you know, I wanted to share the stories that all were lessons, not just for Kate, but for me, for sure. And I realized the first step I had to take was to do some self-healing and some work on myself, to put myself in a place of feeling confident, I knew I wasn't going to have all the right answers being a mom, but I just didn't want to pass on the baggage. I didn't want to relay, feelings and frustrations or just emotions onto my daughter that were mine to deal with first. And so that's kind of where the journey went. And in order to, I wanted a daughter with a servant's heart to just be aware. And I just dove headfirst into some of that work. I'm so grateful that I did, which gave me confidence and conviction from where I was moving from as a mom.
My ex-husband was Air Force and gone half of every year. And so I think, we didn't parent much together when we were together, and it wasn't a whole lot different when we were apart. So I'm sure. And also, I could stay stationary where he was still moving around, and that doesn't make it easier. I didn't move with him after we split. So I understand the challenges of that, and you're just kind of starting off in a situation. Anyone military with their husband gone is starting off in a situation where you're single a good part of the time. Even if you have a great relationship, you're toeing the line by yourself, and that's
Right.
a really different way to parent and go into it. And you had a lot of wisdom and. You were think I was I don't think in the beginning I was thinking as much about getting through my trauma in an organized way where I was proactively working on it. So at what point did you write the book, The Joy of Servant Motherhood, which I bought, by the way. I have your book.
Oh, thank you. I just wrote it last year. I've been working, I
Oh,
wrote
okay.
that, but I wrote down the stories for the last couple of years, and they were funny stories about how to say no, which was, the child that begs you for the puppy. Legit, that's the story. And I wanted the puppy as much as Kate, but it was like, no, it was not good time. And so, I just started writing down those stories. Cookies. I love to bake, and we have such a history around Christmas time, big mess, tons of cookies, but then delivering them to people. So understanding the, giving a little bit. So I started writing these stories down, and then I was like, I'm going to write a book. And I learned from my editor, which I didn't know, that only a third of the people that say they're going to write a book actually do and get it published. And I was like,
Yep.
really? Okay. So it became a joke. My daughter wrote the foreword for the book, and she starts off, and she wouldn't let me read it till it was in its final publishing stage. And she said, little was I surprised when the woman who said she hates to write was writing a book. Was I surprised she was writing it on motherhood? No, because she knows how much I love being a mom. So yeah, so I just published it last year.
I'm so proud of you.
Thanks.
I
Yeah.
thought it was 20%. So only 20% of people who say they want to write a book, because I'm an author also. And when I remember losing a job and my husband saying, well, you have a couple months off. We have money. We're okay for a couple months. Why don't you write the book you've always talked about writing? And I was like, oh, now I have to figure out if I want to be the person who talks about it or the person who does it. Because talking about it's super easy. I don't know if you know this, but talking about it is super easy and doing it's not.
Know.
So kudos. I thought it was only 20%, but even if it's a third, it's huge. It's
It's,
a big deal.
yeah, it is. And I did you write your book in 3 months?
Yeah, 2.5 months. It was written in
Oh
two and a
my
half
gosh,
months.
good for you. Yeah,
Yeah.
I found myself, going to the beach or going someplace to reflect and just writing, because all the chapters are kind of independent. So I
Okay.
would write that. And then, it's constantly back and forth. Nah, that's not enough. Let's work on this. But I promised myself that I wouldn't pressure my deadlines or anything. I wouldn't pressure myself to reach those. But I wanted it done. And there was something in me too that kept saying, you need to get this done before Kate's a mom. And I published it in May, and she told us about that they were pregnant in September. So I guess I got it done, but that was a surprise. So yeah, it took me a little while.
Did she help proofread and edit any of it? Not necessarily from like a technical editing standpoint, but did she read through the whole thing and approve it all before it went to publish?
She knew most of the stories that I was going to share because we would still laugh or cry about many of them.
Yeah.
And I sent her a few chapters so she understood the flow, and that the end of each chapter is a mom memo, which is just kind of takeaways.
Yeah.
So she read a few of them, and then she did say to me, "You know what? I don't want to read the whole thing until it's done." And I
Okay.
said, "All right, do you want me to use a pseudonym? Do we not, you know, her name is Kate. Do you want me not to?" She goes, "No. Yeah, you can use that's fine. I'm who I am. That's good." So she read a little bit of it, but not a lot.
That's awesome. I love that
It was fun.
support. That's great. I think the reason I asked that is because my book was the story about my life growing up, and overwhelmingly family that's has read it like remembers a bunch of parts of it and
Oh.
things that happen, and but it's my perspective, and I don't think a perspective is ever wrong, but it might be different than someone else who is there for the same thing, and sometimes that can cause tension. It did in my case for sure. It caused some tension over my how I remembered things compared to how someone else remembered things, and I'm like, that's we can go to an hour talk and walk out the door both coming out with completely different
Something
things. So
different, yeah.
yeah, so I was just kind of curious about that. Tell me about how old was Kate when you divorced?
She was only four,
Okay,
and
little,
yeah,
pretty
yep.
little.
She was little and split. You know, had 6 weeks in the summer with her dad, and then I was working. I've worked over 20 years in the destination resort and spa industry with a since I had a fitness background and management, so. I would work when I didn't have her. The 6 weeks in the summer was hard. I was so used to having her around, and I said, you know, it's funny being a single parent. I didn't have to share a lot, and I don't regret, you know, any of that either. So yeah, so she was only four, and we split time. He did. Her dad did not live in the same area, so it was a,
Yeah.
you know, a travel piece to get her there.
Yep, it was the same for me. And I think that that's a military life. Even if they get out of the military to work within their military specialty as a civilian. I mean, there were a lot of pieces to that, but we never lived in the same area of the country for her whole, my daughter's whole life. So
Yeah,
yeah, I get that.
we moved quite a bit, even though my ex-husband got out of the military and then we moved together. That's, you know, really, Kate was about two, and I knew that we were just friends, and it was very difficult for me to absorb that and accept that, but that's he was out of the military and still you know, working in a nuclear power plant, so you have
Yeah.
weird hours and weird you know, commitments there. But yep, it's we're still good friends today, so I'm
That's
grateful
good.
for that. Yep.
You moved a lot with Kate when she was growing up. Tell me how that was with the two of you.
I did. I always treated it as an adventure. And the first time I moved, I was moving, you know, 6 hours away from anybody, family. And I packed the car with the dog and Kate and I. And no, actually, we didn't have Samantha then. So it was the cat. And I just said, took a job, had three offers, wanted to pick the best spot. And I chose Northern Michigan. We got in the car and we drove. And that was the first move. And then every other move, I think the most difficult one, as I actually wrote about it in the book, on one of the chapters, was 8th grade moving into high school. That's tough. I moved when I was a sophomore
Oh.
in high school, but I actually loved it. I was ready for a new adventure. Kate is very gregarious and very outgoing, so involved in sports and academics. So I knew it would just be that. You know, that uncomfortable piece of being a new kid. But I listened to her. She was honest and said, I'm not happy about this. And I wasn't preaching. I just sat and remained present with her while she shared why she didn't want to move. And I knew that. Ironically, she's married to her husband, who she met when we moved to, that was the move to West Virginia. And I made it an adventure, allowed us to take some time to get settled, but then get involved. and form a new community. And Kate adapted very well everywhere, everywhere we went. And she did say when we got there to our high school would move, if you move again, I'm moving into a hotel and finishing my, I said, nope, I get it. Finish high school here, decide where you're, you know, where you, what your next steps are. And so she had a good attitude, shared her feelings of being upset, embraced adventure, and then just rode the wave, and she did great.
Is she still there? Are you still there?
No. So we went from West Virginia, and then she went to school in Ohio, and then went to get her master's in Massachusetts, and then her soon-to-be fiance was in Rhode Island, and that's where they live now, and I live in Connecticut.
I was raised in Rhode Island and Vermont. So,
Oh, you were.
yeah, it's not very often that somebody comes. Yeah, I was born and raised in Warwick, Rhode Island.
Oh.
Until I was 13, and then we moved the summer before my freshman year in high school to Vermont with my great grandmother, and I went from like
Wow.
city life to tipping cows, and it was like, anyway, I'm very familiar with that area, so that's very nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, so they're outside of Newport. They live outside of Newport.
Awesome. I think
So, yeah.
probably her college life was easier moving and then moving for her master's and even a long distance relationship, maybe because of the amount of time that you guys moved when she was growing up. I think sometimes the things that are hard when we're growing up, not bad, just like challenging, like being the new kid in a school, right? Challenging can later become one of our greatest strengths because she could walk into a
Absolutely.
college and not have the same fears as a lot of the other kids. So, how great.
I agree. Resilience, I think, again, there's a chapter in the book about how when Kate had like 2 or 3 weeks and she got accepted into master's to move from Ohio to Massachusetts, find a place to live, and then leaving her there was going to be about a new adventure, which is taking the T into the city, getting to school. So I knew that she was alone. And in her own mind, she'll talk about that too, that was a hard adjustment, but you know, she's been able to, yep, you learn from that. She went to Europe after that. Yeah, it's or before that, yeah, she went in college. So she stepped into uncomfortable waters and embraced that too. So
That's awesome. I want to ask you, I know you just wrote the book, but you mentioned that when she was little, you wanted to raise her with a servant's attitude. And I know your book is a lot, I mean, it's the joy of servant motherhood. So obviously that
yeah.
there's a lot about being a servant. Can you go into how you wanted to raise her with a servant? Like, what did that mean to you? What did it look like? And then now you're helping other moms discover how to lead with strength, love, and confidence, it says. So, we all have insecurities as parents. Plus, it's just not really what we th I think sometimes we think it's like a Pinterest board, and that's what it's going to look like. And then we get there. Like, we didn't have Pinterest boards back in our day, but
Right.
you know, we think it's going to be a certain way, and we know we want to do things maybe differently than how we grew up, but that doesn't mean we know what that means. And so there's always an insecurity, I think, in parenting. And so I'd love to hear how you raised her with that and how, like, how that became such a theme enough that now you've written a book about it.
Well, to clarify first, servant leadership is about finding the best in others. And so, in a management career and where I was in my life, and then I looked back from the time I was a young girl, that leading from the servant's heart means that I am inclusive and I am bringing others in. I'm also meeting them where they're at, finding their strengths and allowing them a path to accelerate and to share those strengths and to empower them to see those grow and really into their next steps and how they can be a better person. And then so in career wise, you know, we see that joy of like, you know, I would watch employees and think, oh, you're not quite in the right space, I don't think. And you learn more about them, you listen to their desires, and you just get in the trenches with them. And it's not a, you know, a me and a you, it's more of a we and an us. So that's the whole team. And in
Okay.
servant motherhood, what greater gift do they than for us? You know, what greater gift can we have than to see potential and the best in our children? But in order for that to happen, We have to understand as moms that servant doesn't mean that you're serving others and putting yourself at the bottom of the list. It's about self-care. It's about taking care. It's about learning to love yourself. And it's also a great message to your kids when they see that you've carved out a piece of time to go to the gym, take a walk, go have coffee or tea or dinner with a friend, that you have isolated, I say it's bookends, that you've put yourself right between those bookends for a short amount of time during the day. And then that allows them to see that I become a better person when I'm filling my bucket, so I can be a better mom, I can be a better community leader, I can be a better boss. And then the other piece of the servant's heart was really is to be aware of others and to be compassionate, inclusive, to embrace diversity, to be not, not to scatter harsh judgments. And I learned with Kate too that we shared a lot of hospitality and welcoming
Wow.
others. And so we were always the new one in the community, but our community became family of choice. So my daughter saw that, it was about being inclusive, and that servant's heart is being, compassionate, aware of others' needs, and also taking care of yourself.
I've been a runner, and I think there were times when my kids were little, they'd be like, let's go on the bus route. Like, we'll ride our bikes on the bus route. And how much that meant to me, or times where they'd be like, Mom, do you need to go for a run? And it wasn't because I was yelling and screaming and being a terrible parent. It's that I taught them that I show up as my best when I take a little bit of time for myself, and they could be part of that or not. And so that there are some things I think you kind of like, I definitely stumbled along that. I did run when the kids were little, for my own like physical exercise, which was super important to me, and getting outside and my brain and all the things. So from staying healthy and fit to just your brain just needs some of that, and that was a great lesson when one of my girls, she was pretty little, and she's like, Mom, do you need a run? And I was like, I do need a run.
Mom's dopamine. For sure.
So how great that they recognized that that was something that made me the best version of myself.
So
And
good.
right, so good. I think how much of this, when Kay was younger and growing up, was it your job that was teaching you some of this, and then you transferred it to, I'm sure it was both. Like Kate was teaching you how to be better at work, and work was teaching you maybe how to be better as a mom, or that balance. Because a lot of people think, if they don't stay home and stay intense, and I did both. I stayed home and I worked. So I mean, there's nothing wrong with any way you want to do it, but I feel like you had this kind of cycle of learning from all of those things that you kind of kept sort of a checklist in your mind through all those years to be able to even write this book.
I never thought I would ever write a book, and that's, I get everybody can say that, but that's the truth. Me write a book. But I just, these stories were so powerful for me that I wanted to just share the lessons and the laughter. And so I was like, I'm just going to write this book down. But I think you're right that I didn't know it then, but I am so grateful for all the mentors, the teachers, the opportunities, the experiences that we had that are just, they're priceless. And I said that to Kate now, I said, just think about it. I worked at the Greenbrier Resort in West Virginia, and we were starting to acquire properties at different places. I had to go to the Bahamas, and terrible job. And I had to teach a couple of the two of the Bahamians to do massage. So I had to bring somebody with me, and I organized it around vacation, and Kate came with me for a week. I remember going to California for a fitness conference, and it was break, and I took her, and she heard Colin Powell speak.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I worked with shamans and mentors, and Danny Dreyer, who wrote Chi Running, and all of these different people that if you hadn't moved and you hadn't had these experiences, it wouldn't happen. And to this day, we just have friends and relatives, obviously that live all over, but family of choice that we still keep in touch with today. And so I'm sure all these experiences, I had no idea that they would be compiled into stories. But there are, I look back from Michigan to Connecticut to Maryland to West Virginia to South Carolina, all these places that we lived and all these amazing people that really enriched our life and taught us lessons and taught me lessons as a mom.
You
For
have
sure.
a website. Well, we have all your show notes are available in the right below where people are watching. And you, I want you to go through and tell me what you do now because you're doing some pretty cool fun. I mean, you've always done some pretty cool fun stuff, but you're still, it's changed. You're still doing some pretty cool fun stuff. And now taking that situation, all of that knowledge and, how you grow up and your stories, and you're paying it forward to other moms. Can you take us through your website and what you do? I mean, I've cyber stalked you, but until other people have, tell us about that. That would be a great place to kind of wrap up.
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity. So I run under my name, Marie Mozai. My website's mariemozai.com, and it's based on servant leadership, tweaking every day. So right now I'm doing workshops and presentations for moms around the book, but also around, I just left this morning talking about we're going to be putting a weekend together about the call to connection, which is about connecting to ourself, to others, and to God, higher power, whatever it is for you, that we were made for relationships. And COVID did some good things where it forced us to be around, people and create our own kinds of connections. But we are the most disconnected society ever. And people are hungry and they're restless. And so I'm working on different opportunities for weekend events, overnights, workshops, and then I also do spiritual direction. So I have moms, actually females of all ages, and students, also college students that I work with, just on their walk in their spiritual life, and so I do that throughout the week as well.
Wow. What's the best place for people to find you and get in touch with you and be part of this community?
Sure, they can email me directly, marie@mariemozai.com. They can go to my website, mariemozai.com, and find me there in a place to reach out as well. I'm on Facebook under Marie Mozai, married name Peugeot, and on Instagram as well.
Thank you so much for coming and sharing your
Oh, thank
story.
you.
This
Thank
was so
you so much.
fun.
Fun, fun, one mom to another, right?
Yes.